President Obama proposes a new trade agreement with Europe.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with a global perspective on business and economics. And we'll start with something President Obama said in his State of the Union address last night.
Tonight, I'm announcing that we will launch talks on a comprehensive transatlantic trade and investment partnership with the European Union.
Well, European leaders are already welcoming that plan this morning. And Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us from London with the details. Good morning.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, so what do we know about this deal so far, Stephen?
Well, this is something U.S. and European officials have been talking about behind the scenes for more than a year. This is the most important trade relationship in the world. It's worth $646 billion a year. It's very important for the U.S., which last year exported twice as much to Europe as it did to China. The idea is to free up this trade further, phase out tariffs and reduce the regulatory barriers which make it more difficult to do business between the EU and the US.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, so I imagine there are some obstacles.
Yes. I mean, the tariffs don't represent too much of a problem. They average only about 3%. But some of the regulatory hurdles are going to be hard to remove, especially in farm trade. Here's Simon Tilford of the Center for European Reform.
When they get down to the nitty-gritty, it's possible that the negotiations will again founder on some of the cultural differences between the EU and the US, for example, over things such as genetically modified food.
Or Frankenfood, as it's widely called here. There's also a lot of European consumer opposition to American chicken washed in chlorine and hormone-treated beef.
Sounds tasty. Stephen, what are the chances we're going to get a deal like this?
Well, this morning, the head of the European Commission warmly welcomed President Obama's remarks, and he said talks will begin by the end of June. Perhaps there's more doubts about this in the US, where a recent poll showed that 44% of Americans say the US has not benefited from free trade, against only 41% who say it has.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, President Obama also called for stronger gun control laws last night. And one of the big ideas being talked about is to close what's called the gun show loophole. As Marketplace's David Gura reports, many licensed gun dealers are on board with that idea.
In many states, it's completely legal for a private seller, for you or me, to sell a gun to someone without running a background check.
No identification, no waiting period, no record, cash on the table and you're gone with the gun.
Garen Wintemute heads the Violence Prevention Research Program at UC Davis. That kind of transaction does happen at gun shows, but it also happens outside them. It's easy to find buyers and sellers online, for instance. Daniel Webster directs the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy Research, and he says for that reason, he avoids the term gun show loophole.
Loophole makes it sound like this tiny little exception. The reality is it's a huge gap in the current law.
Last weekend, there was a big gun show in Chantilly, Virginia. An ad read, "Get your guns while you still can."
A lot of probably more first-timers this time than I've seen in a long time.
Jerry Cochran is a federally licensed firearms dealer. He owns two gun shops and has a big booth here. Cochran says he avoids the term gun show loophole, but for a different reason. He says it doesn't exist.
People listen to the television and the radio and they think that there's not a background check here at the gun show, but there is. We've never sold a gun in the 34 years I've been in business without a background check.
Licensed dealers have to do that. He points to a table where his employees are filling out forms. But I spot someone wandering the aisles with a handwritten for sale sign, and gun collectors have booths. They're selling their own guns. What bothers Cochran is that many of them aren't licensed.
If you're going to set up here on a weekly basis and you're going to sell guns, you ought to have a license and do it the proper way.
But the thing is, under current law, you can't get a federal firearms license if you only do business at gun shows. And if you don't have a license, you can't access the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. In Chantilly, Virginia, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down 1% in Tokyo, up 0.5% right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 47 points to close at 14,018.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Netflix just debuted its first original series, House of Cards, and there is more original content in the works for adults. But this week, Netflix announced it's teaming up with DreamWorks to create its first original cartoon series for kids. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The new Netflix cartoon will be based on the DreamWorks movie Turbo, about a snail who becomes super fast through a freak accident and dreams of becoming a race car driver.
Stay focused. That's all any driver can do.
With the Turbo series, Netflix is shifting more of its focus to kids. Spokesman Joris Evers.
Last year alone, our members streamed more than 2 billion hours of kids' content.
Why is kids' programming so attractive? It might have something to do with this guy.
Hey, Mr. Krabs!
What is it, SpongeBob?
A monster hit like SpongeBob generates billions, making money on and off the screen. Stuart Levine is TV and features editor at Variety. He says a popular show can spawn its own product line.
You know, the DVDs and the toys and the pillows, and that's what makes it such a huge hit for both the network and the studio.
Plus, Levine says kids' shows don't cost much to make, and a hit like SpongeBob can run forever. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, the Olive Garden is going upscale, sort of. According to Bloomberg News, the chain is switching its uniforms from white to black in an attempt to be more dignified, classy, and clean. That's a quote. But one food blogger says the change will not boost business because all people want out of the Olive Garden is unlimited breadsticks and salad. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.